That is probably the most exciting I've heard you sing a song. It makes a difference. You've known it from childhood. That makes a huge difference to sing those simple yet confident songs like Jesus Loves Me. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for our message is our epistle reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and the first verse of chapter 5. In verse 16, Paul talks to all of us as Christians, and he says, "So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day." This is our text. It's common, I think, for those of us today to think or say something like, you know, I could never compare to the great St. Paul. But in verses 13 through 15, at the beginning of today's epistle reading, Paul corrects that thinking by telling us he is able to actually come to you and to me here today and speak to us through God's word as one Christian to another, face to face, as it were. In verse 13, he says that we have the same spirit of faith. Though hundreds of years may have passed, the one true Christian faith has not changed one bit. In verse 14, he bases that on three unchangeable facts. First, he says, we know that God raised the Lord Jesus from the dead. And second, we know that God will raise us also with Jesus. And third, we know that he will bring Paul and the other apostles with you and me into his presence. In other words, the undisputed truth that all Christians of all times believe is that Jesus' victory over death won the victory over death for us too. Which means that we are all headed to the same place. God's heavenly presence, as Paul says. And that means that we are all in the same family. And so because of that, Paul wraps his arms around all of us here this morning, and he just states a fact in verse 16. We Christians do not lose heart. There is a billboard in various places around the country that shows a track runner, his name is Marlon Shirley, in his starting crouch. He's ready for the starting gun to go off. But at the end of one of his legs, he has a prosthetic runner's blade instead of a foot. And the four words on the billboard say, "Lost leg, not heart." Marlon, you see, was the first lower leg amputee to break the 11-second mark in the 100-meter dash, setting a time of 10.91 seconds back in 2007. And if you were to learn of Marlon's story, it would be to hear about one setback after another, from his childhood in an orphanage to numerous obstacles and rejections because of his amputation, but also because of life. But Marlon refused to give up. He did not lose heart. Today, Paul tells you and me the same thing. We do not lose heart. No matter what may be going on around us, no matter how much we are going through with our failing bodies, our mental capacities, our emotions, our family or other relationship struggles, we do not lose heart. We don't get so discouraged that we just give up. We're not so worn out that we give in. We don't lose hope. We do not lose heart. And that's why many of us here may think that we could never compare to the great St. Paul, because you may be thinking, Paul has no clue what I'm actually going through. Who is he to call this heavy stuff that I have to deal with light and momentary? Because it sure doesn't feel light, and it certainly doesn't seem momentary. In fact, according to all of the outward evidence, just like some of our family members or friends may be telling us, we are just, quote, wasting our time with all of this Jesus stuff. In fact, trying to follow Jesus, trying to live as he teaches us that we should, turning the other cheek, for example, when someone wants to fight with me at school, not giving in to the pressure or the desire to go along with them when they say that the world came about from a big bang, or that a couple doesn't need to be married before having sex, or that marriage is just old-fashioned. Obeying Jesus and thinking that we really should love our enemies and have a default attitude of forgiveness rather than vengeance. Trying to live this way, well, that only seems to bring about more affliction, Paul. More grief into this earthly life. So, Paul, why would I want to do that? And then there is the fact that our aging bodies and our tormented emotions and our overworked minds are like what Paul calls an old worn-out tent here in this text. And that's not only for the older ones that are among us. I mean, there is only, if you're younger, I guess it could be older, but often, if you're younger, there is only so much bullying at school or on social media that a person can take. Only so much pressure to live up to our parents' expectations before it finally just breaks our mental health, our ability to keep on going. And I'm not making light, of course, of the actual breaking down and tearing apart of this tent that is our earthly body either. I mean, there are those here in this small congregation, here in this room, that are dealing with serious, progressive diseases like Parkinson's, rheumatoid and osteoarthritis, various kinds of cancer, Alzheimer's or other kinds of dementia, diabetes, chronic joint and pain issues, and so much more. All of which the devil and our sinful nature uses to just drain and sap our desire to keep going, to fulfill Jesus' mission of sharing God's word out at every opportunity that we have, and serving all people with his love and his grace, even when we just want to focus on ourselves. Just want to ignore all of those around us. Look, the list could go on and on about the ways that our outer nature is wasting away, as Paul says in verse 16. We live in a day and age when uncertainty and extreme anxiety seems to only be increasing, so that more and more people are just giving up, giving in, losing hope. Neither Paul nor I need to tell you about your own afflictions, the things that you actually face each and every day, that tempt you, that torture you, to the point of losing heart, that egg you on to think that it's just not worth arguing or fighting with my spouse or my friends or my parents or even myself anymore about this living as a Christian thing. It's just not worth it. Maybe Paul can say that we do not lose hope, but maybe Paul was just a better and stronger person than I am. But you see, that's exactly why Paul has every right to talk with you and me, one Christian to another. Because as Paul wants any true Christian to know, not losing heart has nothing at all to do with whether or not you are a better or stronger person. In fact, here in 2 Corinthians, Paul is at his most vulnerable. He reveals more about himself, his own emotions, and what he has gone through than in any of his other writings. At the beginning of the letter, he says this: "We were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death." And in chapter 4, just before the words of our text, Paul used words like perplexed, struck down, afflicted, persecuted. His life was one of ridicule. He was run out of town, literally. He was beaten up. He was whipped. He was thrown into jail. He was shipwrecked. He was bitten by a snake. And he even knows that his own death will be one where he will be murdered because of his faith in Jesus. So yes, Paul knows. He knows the weight. He knows that all of the earthly evidence in this life says that believing in and committing your life to Jesus is just not worth it. So how? How does Paul keep from losing hope? How does he not lose heart? He says that it is all because of Christ's resurrection. In chapter 1, verse 9, Paul says, "We had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead." And in verses 13 and 14 here in our text, "We also believe and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence." You see, the fact that Jesus rose victorious from the dead means that it is all worth it, my friends. His resurrection is both the reason and the power, both why and how we do not lose hope. When Paul's name was still Saul, and he was arresting and persecuting Christians and throwing them into jail so that they would be killed for their faith, it was the resurrected Jesus who appeared to him on the road to Damascus. And that risen Christ called out, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And Paul asked, "Who are you?" The answer was, "I am Jesus." And at that very moment, the unbeliever Saul died, and the believing Christian Paul came to life. It was Christ's resurrection that was the basis and the energy for all that Paul did and wrote from that day forward. His entire ministry flowed out of the resurrection. It is the promise of his and our resurrection that led him to say, "We do not lose heart." You see, Paul knows with every ounce of his being what is coming, because he saw it with his own eyes in Jesus. A final day will come, a day of resurrection of the dead. This is the day when Jesus returns. And just as he rose from the dead, so will Paul, so will you, so will I. We will rise with bodies that are immortal, that are imperishable. All of our afflictions will be gone. Gone! That means no more tears, no more pain, no more grief, no more failings or frailty. Paul promises that our bodies, they will be glorified on that day, according to Philippians chapter 3. So Paul speaks what his heart believes. He proclaims as fact what he knows is to come. The glory of being in Christ's resurrected presence for eternity, it far outweighs the troubles that want to weigh us down today. So that by comparison, they really are slight, momentary afflictions. That is why we do not lose heart. Last Sunday, we heard Paul say in verses 8 and 9, just before our text, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. When Paul speaks of Jesus' resurrection as, quote, an eternal weight of glory, what he's using here is the picture of a balance scale. One where both sides are perfectly balanced when they are empty. On the one side, though we have all of our afflictions and griefs, the pressures, the stresses that we face each day, cancer, broken relationships, etc., so that side just drops down and bottoms out because it is all so heavy to bear. But then when you add Christ's suffering and his death to the other side, that pays for, that forgives all of our sin. Things begin to change so that Jesus' resurrection, it just entirely does away with what is on the other scale. And now the scale is bottomed out forever the other way. This is the miracle, friends, in verse 16 that Paul wants every one of us to see, know, and take to heart. Though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. That's present tense. That is every moment of every day, a power from God working inside of you right now, from the moment of your baptism, whenever or wherever that was at. Later on in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, Paul says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And also in Titus chapter 3, verse 5, quote, God saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. So yes, my dear Christians, the resurrection power not to lose heart is already right now inside of you through your baptism. Did you hear that? That power of not losing hope is already inside of you through your baptism. But your baptism didn't mean that you just stopped living the Christian life. No. You've been renewed. You are made new again. Jesus brought you into his eternal family, that is the church, to live here, to serve here, to encourage each other here in our current afflictions, to be reminded every Sunday when you gather to be served by God, to be strengthened when he feeds you here at the Lord's table. With the true body and blood of Jesus, so that you and I both do not lose heart. Why not? Because the afflictions that we face here and now, I want you to think, whatever that affliction or those afflictions are right this moment, those afflictions that we face here and now, folks, they are not eternal. They are not permanent. Just as a fabric tent is no comparison to a stone or a brick building. But Jesus' resurrection, that is permanent, eternal. It is more powerful than any affliction, any pressure, any problem or pain that the world tries to dump upon you. In 1 Corinthians 15, 55 and 57, Paul asks, "O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting?" Thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the answer. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. So we do not lose heart. Amen.